Hello fam, and welcome to another episode of the Barman's Barbecue, where we slay sacred cows, roast them, and serve them as they're hot.
You ready?
You ready? It's 5% law, 20% skill, 50% concentrated power of will, 5% pleasure, 50%. Okay, Mirabella, let's do this.
Well, I want to talk about it.
I said that for the longest time I've been trying to record the podcast on the red flags and why you should red flags and why you should not fear them.
Why should not fear them?
Yes.
I mean, I don't fear them, but if I see it, I'm
going to
flee. I'm
not like why you should not necessarily flee or why you may not necessarily flee.
Why? Oh yeah, please. I'm here to. So I hope. Yeah. Okay. I'm here to
hear. Yeah. So my take is that this Indomie generation, at the slightest indication of red flag, they don't run.
But even older people had their own red flags now.
But perhaps they. I mean, so many.
They
say
don't marry this person from that village. Now red flag now.
Nah. Mm. Yeah, so but then is that but was he wise?
Yeah, it wasn't wise, but at least you know that everybody have what they can offer.
So most of the red flags, the advice about red flags may be sponsored by fear.
Oh yeah, wait, let's define what is red flag now.
Okay, good.
What the definition?
No, so red flags basically, what I think it is maybe things you have observed in a partner's life. That you feel like it's reason enough to end the relationship that would have led to marriage.
I thought red flag was not even entered yet.
Okay, not even enter exactly.
Starters, not even enter.
Okay, so that is.
But are they necessarily bad or good?
Yeah. So, or should you fear them?
No, you shouldn't fear them. But it's the red flag is a sign to them. Didn't they bring you from a football team? You watch football now. Use football and explain to me.
No, it's red flag from football. Football is red card, not red flag.
Red flag doesn't
work.
But I don't know,
sure. So, I think red flag is just like maybe indication that there is danger.
Mm-hmm.
So
why should you run away from an indication that there is danger?
Yeah, my own thinking has been Jesus saw the red flag. But what was his response to the red flag he saw?
He rebuked it now. Plenty red flag. Last time Peter wanted to do any high, I was like, the devil want to use you, but you know.
I prayed for you. So he still kept Peter.
Well, he prayed for him now.
Yes, now.
But
so
he
dealt with the red flag.
I'll pray with the
He confronted the red flag.
Yeah, I'll confront
as opposed to running away from the red flag.
I'll confront the brother.
You know, so like, so let's think, okay, let's see, what were there some red flags that Jesus saw and how did
he? Yes, that time prepare everybody in the temple. It's not red flag.
No, so I feel like Jesus, okay, the relationship Jesus had with the church.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was going to marry the church, metaphorically speaking, but it was going to cost him his life.
Okay.
Which red flag was that one?
Exactly. So because Jesus has done it, I cannot come and
No. That.
I saw whether there is to be people sugar entered there.
Jesus' death is not looking at it, I don't think it's just a substitution, it's an identification. It's showing you that because of he died, you two should be willing to die. And the reason why many people. The reason why a lot of people are not in relationships, one, the reason why a lot of people's relationships are not working or will not work is their unwillingness to die.
With all due respect, but I do not want to die. I die every day in Nigeria.
So, there was one time that prayer was hold to, I die daily.
You know, so the thing is, so it's interesting how like the deconstruction has happened to me where, you know, so first you grew up in an environment where when we were younger, they were teaching us to die daily. Then as we grew older, some people got the revelation and that says that no, if you are dying, if you want to die daily, it works. And as if they now thought against the idea of you dying. And so they so swung to another extreme that nobody wants to die anymore.
in their own, because definitions are different for each of these people, so I feel like they're all legit.
So yeah, the people who thought against dying daily were from the idea that you don't need to die because of Jesus had died.
Yeah, because Jesus had died.
No, but me, I'm saying that because of Jesus has died, you should die.
Especially in the context of relationships, you know, that's basically the how would I put it, the hallmark of
love.
Bible, of biblical relationship advice.
I mean,
husbands, love your wife as Christ love the church. Love the church to the point of death.
Yeah.
So it's a, and I think it's the fear of death also
that
like
keeps us
said.
From dying.
Yeah. So with this red flag things, like for me, I'm like, there are many ways to deal with red flags. So you can just change the color.
We're not saying
accept red flags.
Okay, what are you saying?
Is the approach to red flags for many people is a graceless approach.
Okay.
It's like this is a deal breaker for me.
Yeah.
You know, like, so when you ask people, what are your deal breakers and this, so many times, even the deal breaker said, for many people, it's sexual stuff. Okay, what's a deal breaker for you? A deal breaker is, okay, if they cheat. So I like to go, okay, so what if it wasn't intentional? It'd be like, cheating is always intentional. And I'm like, okay, wait, so how about the party, drugs, this and that, and there was some form of abuse inside. Since it is sexual, this person has engaged in sexual activity, how be it not consensual?
No, you didn't start with this point.
The
person did not cheat. That one, the person was.
And no, I'm just saying, so for many people, they say cheating or having sexual intercourse with someone else is a deal breaker for them. And I say, okay, what of this? And for some people, they say, for me, it's still a deal breaker. And I understand, okay, it's good that you know this. So you're not going to pretend to want to accept something.
I need to understand.
Can we talk about
red flag? Your red flag.
Okay,
let's go.
Can you give me some examples of red flag and let me tell red you flag. How I would approach it?
Me, for instance, now somebody that used to grow, someone that is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Because the mirror that you see today, me, I don't know if the things I believe today, if I believe tomorrow. If you come and tell me, say, you're not the guy I used to know. Me, I'm not even the person I used to know some years back. Yeah, so somebody that is not really. To change in this life, that one is a big red flag for me. You don't need to learn things.
No, but
it was done socially.
No, but the thing about change is that change many times is not what you budgeted for.
Exactly.
It happens to you. Life happens to you. God happens to you.
Exactly.
You know, so whether the person is a coconut head now. It may not be a coconut. The coconut can break tomorrow. What I'm driving at is that, and so for my own approach to red flag is that, so I like to look at it like Jesus Christ. Yeah. So I imagine Jesus seeing the red flag and I was like, man, my love for you is stronger than the debt you can bring to me.
And that is because of the issues we're having today.
Which issues?
Because the church has refused to grow and they are stuck in their old ways with Jesus' debt.
I feel like despite what the church is doing, Jesus does not still change.
Okay, how will you do this, my red flag? Man, you say what talk about how you do.
Yeah, so for my it's just to always the first things first is that what kind of person are you? What kind of person are you? The aim should be is to be the whole person or the holy person. So once you are whole. Yeah, regardless of what the person will do to you, the highest thing the person can do is to crucify you, or you will rise from the dead.
That's my problem. You can't crucify me, because my wholeness
you will not let
compromise my freedom. Because I go frustrate you. You don't have to be telling me, using me to write things on Twitter.
fear of death by
dragging.
By dragging.
When I was listening to, I read Jonathan Wilton's book, Understanding the Whole Bible. Mm-hmm. So he was saying that when Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. So the cross was also a metaphor for that public humiliation. Because of the idea that when they crucify you, they will put you on display for people to see that this is
Let me pause to say that means you refuse to die. there's one time they dragged you to run. Yes, on Twitter. People will usually mute their Twitter and go to run. Or just kind of up and throw it away.
Yeah. So,
I was young then.
Yeah. No, so the thing is, yeah, but I'm like, I'm saying that we should not fear red flags. Okay, let me give you
what do you mean by fear them? How do people fear them? Is what I would like to know.
No, it's like, okay, the popular, like, so if you see red flags, run away. Don't advise yourself to stay. So I'm not saying that you should stay in the relationship, and I'm also not saying you should run away from the relationship.
So what should we do, please?
Yeah, so everyone is every situation is person specific. Okay, I'll tell you a practical one. I don't know if you were in the house one day when there's a guy who had a relationship with he has a fiance, and the fiance has anger issues.
Okay.
And one time she carried hammer. She was threatening to break his 55-inch television.
Bro, that is red flag now.
Do you understand? Mm-hmm. So now, Sylvester was there. Everyone was like, okay, what should he do? Should he carry on with this relationship or should he leave? I believe that 90%, but every other person there was like, "Omo, end the relationship." Me, I was like, no, that they should not see it that way. You know, and guess what? They are married today.
But tomorrow, if she break me head, we'll call
no,
you.
No, no, no. So, how would I even say it? It's good that he's aware that there's a possibility of she doing this to him.
Oh God, I beg.
But Paul had a revelation by what's his name? Agabus. Is it Agabus?
Yeah,
the prophet.
Yeah.
He said that Paul was going to suffer plenty things, as if like in the course of Paul going to get married to the churches or going to preach the gospel, he was going to suffer. Red flag. But Paul said, so imagine that height of love that, yes, bring the suffering on, right? My love for these people is greater than the suffering they will bring. The same thing that Jesus saw. He had seen that he was going to be crucified, but he considers the love he has for the spouse greater than the death by crucifixion that they will bring. So I feel like great love has the ability to, love is long suffering, that ability to suffer long and be kind.
So excuse me, if I come and tell you that the person on date is slapping me to my mom, you tell me to continue. I love his kind, I love his...
I'll teach you. What if you slap him?
I'll not be a mini. I'm not a violent person. Yeah. I'm not a physically violent person.
No. But the other thing is that we are not all in the place, right, to die for. Like Jesus, Jesus had multiple opportunities to die before he eventually died.
So wait, if we edited someone that was slapping you, we would have continued.
No. You can part of sometimes,
that can be your undying point.
Sometimes love. Yeah. Sometimes love would be that you encourage him to go to therapy. You understand the unwillingness. So perhaps if he chooses not to go to therapy or this, you are free to.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's not.
No, I will break up with you if I give you a go to therapy.
No.
That's what I've learned today. Maybe to be kind to the person.
No.
I will just block you. Don't delete you everywhere.
No, I feel like I think we can set healthy boundaries, right? So first, be whole and secure in yourself. Like your boundary is set. So let's say if you meet an abusive partner or somebody that wants to slap, part of love to do is to we don't do that here, right? I love you, I respect you, but you need to respect me or no. But your unwillingness, the person's unwillingness to...
I feel like your examples are very beautiful and very... But me, if you just say, oh, this girl, you're just watching for yourself, now me, I for just slap her. Only I just hear you. I just hear. I'm not even dating that person. I was thinking, I just hear, bruh.
But again, anybody is violent like that. So I think the first thing to do, right, is to help the person. By helping the person, the help is not that you should be the person's punching bag. The help is now therapy to maintain the safe distance for the person to get healing, not to abandon the person.
I like how patient and kind you are. Because my motto in this life is I'm not the Holy Spirit. I'm so proud.
I'm not the Savior.
I'm not the Savior of God. I'm not there.
So, okay. I think also in like red flags, in defining. So people have different definitions of red flags or different things that they hold on to as red flag. But I think there's something Paris said one time, and he was like, so many times when people come with some of these examples of, okay, what if you believe in clearing your accounts, and God says clear your accounts, and the person you love is like, no, let's be practical. Paris is like, most times you'll not find that kind of situation. Most times you find someone who is on the same wavelength with you, but not to the same degree.
Mm-hmm.
So the person is like, we can give, but we have to budget and plan. Say, it's in those scenarios now that you would find the real. So how do you resolve conflict in this scenario? Because on opposite ends, it's like, I believe God said I should do or this. But now you're on the, we can, but not to that extent. And you're like, I want to, and to this extent. So I want to, in that case now, we have red flags, but there are also degrees to the redness. There are also degrees to it. So even in the... Okay, so for some people, what you call cheating or what they call flirting, for some other person, it's flirting to a degree, but it's not the... It doesn't hold the same weight as... So for certain people, it's like, why you took a picture with her? And for another person, it's not that you took a picture with her, it's okay. But you are holding her in the picture. So those kinds of smaller. So how do we deal with those smaller differences?
I can't call them smaller differences because people are different, and what different people, what they like. Some people don't want my husband. Like someone was saying the other day, she don't want to marry someone that was always traveling. She wants someone that will come back to the house every night. I don't know. I'm like, what the hell is that? I don't even care. I come to the house once a year. It's not really my business. It's not a thing. It's something that I can live without. You get. So I think people too are different. Attachmental styles, personalities, trauma to some degrees affects what people. There's some people say you can't cheat. Though, let's not bring it to my material. I feel like we can talk that one. What is so special about your bed that's making the cheating less honorable or more honorable?
Just don't bring it to. I think for some people, it's that
is disrespect.
All of them are disrespect. All of them are disrespect.
Yeah, but they have decided.
You close by. Okay. No problem.
In the types of disrespect, so for some people is that if it's happening outside, so long as it is, even if it's happening outside, it's always going to be. So what do we interpret it, or what do we put it as a front? It's hearsay. But when it comes to the house, there's concrete proof and evidence now. So now you have to act based on this evidence that we presented to you. So they are just ahead. So it's not like we don't know that it's happening. Our own is just make sure. For some people, you meet people who are willing to. I think there was this show, Backchat. So there was this girl on Backchat, London. And she was like, she doesn't care. She can be the third wife so long as the man has money. You know, so there are people with those kinds of. There are people who say, so long as he's providing for me and my kids, I don't care what he does. And for certain other people, it's a red flag. So I think also what we have come to do in this generation is we project our perceived response to become standards, especially when we become...
What do you mean by perceived response to become standard?
Like, you know how someone will say, I can never, it would never be me. I'll never be found in a situation where I'll be begging someone who cheated on me.
Mm-hmm.
To come back. So that's the perceived response. You believe that's how you respond until you're in the situation.
That one today, but me. Guess what is what I don't go do? Because I see my ancestors suffering and I'm not ready to suffer. I've already calculated this and it's hard to end
for me. Yeah, so definitely. There's all of that.
And there's perceived response, though. It might even be worse the way I react.
Do you get like, and for some of the things that we think we'll react. But magnificently too. So we don't.
I actually feel So I agree that, and I admit that my stance is kind of idealistic, right? It may not be, it's not real,
It may actually be real, but like I said, personalities
So I feel like I'm just trying to imagine the root cause of our response to red flag.
Mm.
So the root cause of our response to red flags, I'm just trying to say, it is fear and a sense of loss. That because of he's going to punch me, or because of he will cheat on me, or he will use abusive words, the idea at the end of the day is that it's going to hurt me, and I don't want to be hurt. But if there is a possibility whereby you are free, you are not scared of being hurt, that hurt me, whatever you bring it on, punch me, I can take it. I will still love you regardless of what you do, and I'm not going to change my standard. I'm not going to. You are the one who needs help, not me, right? Let's say you call me names or whatever, right? You are the one who is sick. I am whole. You get? So, like I said, I admit that this might be idealistic, but I feel like that's where, for me, that's where I like to be, in a place whereby, you can cheat on me, right? You can slap me, you can beat me, yeah? That's your problem. You are the one who is in need of help. Right, but I will still remain true to me and true to you, regardless of what you bring to the table. So, like I was saying that, so I feel like one of the reasons why many of us, or many people, don't get married, or don't have good relationships, don't stay in long-lasting relationships, is because of that fear of like, this person is not a good person, this person is a cheat, this person only calls me when they want to, this person is using me. So is that fear of being used by others, that fear of, you know, but if let's say that, don't worry, this love is enough for, you can do whatever you like, call me whenever you want, and you know, I'm good. So I feel like an ideal relationship is when both parties are both self-giving. Right, so do whatever you want to do. Like, I will remain faithful to you, whether you choose to be unfaithful. You know, so I'm of the opinion that just like Jesus saw the red flag, and still considered his love for us greater than the death we'll bring to the table. So ideally, I think we should strive to be born again after the image of the Son of God, who is not afraid to die for others, regardless of where they are in their development. But some people are in the place whereby they must cheat. Some people are in the place where, you know, because of their trauma, you know, they are stuck in a particular lifestyle. You know, but so being Christ-like is being able to stay present, you know, be that gaze of love in the midst of the chaos that people might be going through. Like I've said, I've seen hell, and that can be hell. You know, imagine you are in the presence of somebody who loves you, regardless of your BS. You know, for some time, you feel like you are smart. But over time, the love will be like coals of fire.
Fire on you.
Depends on the person. You know, that good morning America, who say, right, she has given many reasons to go, but she's still there. I've given her many reasons. He's cheating on everyone in the office.
No, but him is... So that one has a problem now, but it does not know.
You usually do have problem now.
Yeah. So, but that is not... my point is that, too, the... In quotes, sinner is the one with the issues, is the one in need of a savior, is the one in need of therapy and help. But the challenge that he does not know, somebody has is diagnosed of a problem, but does not know he has a problem. And that's why everywhere he goes, there's problem, there's chaos. Yeah, but true love. So perhaps, and I can, what I propose is what everybody would like to see. I would like to happen to them. Right, I mean, every
girl, they like to express,
but they will not like to be people who will give it back. So, if we can be people who are, and I feel like this is what is pre forgiveness, right? So, before the person ever repents of the red flag you have already made up your mind that there's nothing you will do to me that will change my love for you, I will always be true to you, regardless of.
And I feel like they are the ones to listen. I know I used to be this, never would I ever for this cheating. Well, I listen to Esther Perretti, and say, is it Perretti? Esther Perel, and I'm like, it depends on how it happens. How there are nuances to these things.
That book, she has a book, State of Affairs. Why people cheat on more. If you see stories,
There are some reasons where
she even talks about why it hurts. So one of the reasons is according to, like, a lot of people have built their identity around them. What does she have that I don't have?
Did you see that story on AIT where someone was like, he cheated on his, he was with his wife, he got bored, but his wife is always smiling, waking up, doing things. He was so bored, he was giving her tough time, she was still smiling. Then he fell in love with someone in school, then he divorced the wife and went to sleep with the person, and the woman was still, when he comes to pick his children, she will still be happy, tell her, how are you? Are you sick? You look for her, tell her, take care of yourself. So he now went back home, but now becoming dissatisfied with his new wife, he now realized that it's not his old wife that made him dissatisfied, it's just him personally that is dissatisfied. And anytime he goes to see the other wife and she's so happy and everything that he will feel like crying, he misses her, the everyday normal things that used to look like boredom. I'm like,
people,
my guy.
People did this one. Mechanics and bowlers.
I'm like, what kind of life is when disappeared there? You thought you were a wife, and now you're the other person. I'm like, oh God.
Just to end the podcast, or just like a final thought, so perhaps I have spun off into marriage and relationship. There's this, in the book, State of Affairs, Esther Perel talks about two models for marriage, the cornerstone model and the capstone model. So in our parents' time, they had the cornerstone model whereby you got married to start life. But these days, marriage is like after you have figured out yourself, you then get into marriage, and that's why cheating or infidelity is worse now, in the sense that you expect that this person you are getting married to is an adult.
Yes.
Then children got married now. Adults, you expect two adults who have figured out their lives together to now get married. So you are now like, you're an adult. I'm not supposed to be the one to remind you that you're supposed to wash plates or do this. You know, you should know. Yeah. You know, you should have your car. You should do this. You should do that. And that's why when the partner is not doing that, there's so much hurt. But back then, which the cornerstone model, you just get your family at that age.
You're figuring
you
it out.
You just marry this person this one, political, you know, marriage. As you guys marry, you have shares from this company and that company, and you build stuff together. So yeah, check out Esther Perel. She wrote Meeting in Captivity and State of Affairs. All right. So with these few points of mine, I hope we'll be able to convince you and not to confuse you that you should not be scared of red flags.
You can change the color.
Yeah, you can change the color. or you can still flee.
Or you can
Maranatha.
Like a matador.
Remember Ratcherimo.
Thank you for tuning in to today's episode of The Barman's Barbecue. We hope we are able to provide some answers while raising more questions. It was a pleasure sharing this roasted lamb with you. Remember to rate this podcast, subscribe, and invite your friends to this feast. We love you!